that while I was yet far from me, you chose to die for me, and I didn't even know it. Lord, I just hope that every person that's here today knows the saving grace and the knowledge of the Lord Jesus Christ and his sacrifice, so that we might not strive to do those things that we cannot achieve, but Lord, just rest in you and know that you have accomplished all, and there is no other thing other than you that is more important. So Lord, let us not chase the world. Let us not chase things that that don't matter, Lord. Let us just stay focused on you and keep us on the path of righteousness, Lord, because you've deemed it necessary that we should praise your word and take your name to the people who don't know who you are, and give us the boldness and the ability, Lord, to be able to do that. I just love you. I ask you to bless today's message as it goes out. I thank you for all that's happened this week. I just ask you to please watch over us and help us. In Jesus' name, amen.
All right, good morning. It's good to be in the house of the Lord singing about the glorious day when he comes back, isn't it? It's a good day to be in church this morning, so thank you all for coming. We want to welcome everybody that's here in person and online. And I want to do something slightly different to confuse our ushers. If you've been, usually we have our first time guests raise their hand, and it's a little embarrassing. So if you've been here more than 10 times, raise your hand. Okay, now you guys all put your hands down. If you've been here, this is your first time, raise your hand. Kind of worked. Well, we're glad that everybody is here. In that guest bag, if you are a first-time guest, there's a white card in there. It's got a QR code on it. We are a church that gives. We like to give. And so if you scan that QR code, it will take you to a form, and we don't need any of your personal information.
Sure, it would be great to be able to take a day off once a week, but that's just not possible. I mean, between work and family and other commitments, I mean, I barely have enough time in the week to get done everything I have to. I'm playing catch up as it is. Most weeks I need that Sunday just to get stuff done. Then it all goes by so fast, and suddenly, you know, 10 years have gone by. It's like you're so busy getting stuff done that you never have time to think about where you're really headed or even really enjoy where you're at.
Well, good morning. Thanks for being here. If you're joining us online, we are glad that you have joined us this morning. You know, the Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 11, verse 28, Jesus says, "Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy and my burden is light." And you know, today we live in a time where it's hard to find rest for our souls, man. We get weary. Even Paul said that, don't be weary in well-doing, right? Weariness is a real thing. And today we live in a time when our souls get weary and rest is sought after. And it's often sought after in the wrong places. It's not a sin to be weary, right? It's not a sin to need rest. But where do you find your rest? You know, you can go to the to nature, right? And you can get away. You can go to the golf course. You can get high, right? You can go lose yourself in drugs and alcohol or some other thing, or you can go live in a compound somewhere and try to escape. You can go medicate some other way. You can go up to Mount Everest, right, and get away from everybody and get to the highest places in the world, and you'll find out that you're still not going to be at peace, right? Because peace only comes from one place, and it comes from the Lord. Hey, it's good to see you, everybody. And so today we're going to look at the fourth commandment, and it is a very simple command. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. And though this command is simple, it's very misunderstood, because many, even in churches today, don't understand the mysteries of Christ and how sufficient the sacrifice of Christ is. And so this morning, in the time remaining, I just want to unpack this and talk about the purpose, the picture, and the person the Sabbath represents. And before we do that, I'd like to read our text. Now, if you don't have a Bible, you can grab one from the seat rack in front of you and turn to page 113. Otherwise, be in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8. There's more than one verse. We're going to go 8 through 11. Exodus chapter 20, verses 8 through 11. The Bible says in Exodus 20 and verse 8, "Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath day of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son, nor thy daughter, thy manservant, nor thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord hath made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them is, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for the opportunity to be here this morning. Thank you for what we've already heard in the Adult Bible Fellowships. Thankful for what we have experienced today as we've lifted up your name and given praise to you. Lord, it is not adequate. Lord, we will be praising you for all of eternity, and you are so incredible. We do look forward to that glorious day when we are caught up. But in the meantime, Lord, we look forward to what you're going to teach us now. We pray, God, that you would bring that rest to our souls as we understand and comprehend what the Sabbath is all about and why it's in this list of Ten Commandments as we're on number four. And Lord, I pray, God, that you would just open our eyes and give us understanding of who you are and where our priorities lie in regard to worshiping you and finding rest in you. We thank you and we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. So the first thing I want to talk about this morning in regard to the Sabbath is just the purpose. You can see that when God gave this command, this was to be carried out not just by individuals, but then by the people you're responsible to steward, right? So he says, hey, make sure that everybody that you're responsible for is observing this command, your sons, your daughters, your manservant, your maidservant, even your animals, right? So there's no getting around this. This is a pretty comprehensive command to the Jews at this time. The first thing I need you to understand, though, that God commands the Sabbath to be holy because it serves as a sign to the nation of Israel. It serves as a sign to the nation of Israel. You know, a sign is something that you need when you're going somewhere. And God is taking the nation of Israel somewhere, right? He's taking them to the promised land. He's trying to get them there. So he has to establish a government. He has to establish a system of worship. And he's going to do all of that after we get through Sinai here, and we'll get into some of that later. But the reality is he's giving this as a sign. This is taking them somewhere, and we'll talk about where that's taking them here more in just a moment. But the Bible tells us that God clearly states that the Lord's Sabbaths are for a sign to the nation of Israel in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 19 through 20. Ezekiel 20, 19 through 20. Now, I'm putting it on the screen for time's sake, but you can read more if you want to go back and read that chapter. But in Ezekiel chapter 20, the Lord says through Ezekiel to Israel, the nation, he says, I am the Lord, your God. Walk in my statutes and keep my judgments and do them. Right? Do what I'm asking you to do, telling you to do, and hallow my Sabbaths. Right? Not just one Sabbath. He says, I want you to hallow all the Sabbaths, set them apart. And they shall be a sign between me and you, that ye may know that I am the Lord your God. So this Sabbath system is really committed to the nation of Israel. It's committed to the nation of Israel, and that's important. Paul makes it clear in the New Testament that Jews require a sign, and Greeks seek after wisdom. And he says that in 1 Corinthians chapter 1 and verse 22. So we saw in Ezekiel chapter 20, verses 19 through 20, that the observance of the Sabbaths was given as a sign for the Jews. Now, in Jeremiah chapter 17, God encourages the Jews to observe the Sabbath as he commanded them, so that he could bless them forever. So where is this taking them? What is it that they need to see? Well, there's a blessing. There's a blessing for them to keep this command. And he says, I'll bless you forever. It was given and intended to be a blessing to the nation of Israel, not a burden. You know, God's commands, right, they're not grievous if we love his law, right? So this was commanded to be this was intended to be a commandment that brought blessing, that took them somewhere to a place of blessing and not a burden. Not, oh, I got to do this. How many of you are, I got to go to church today. Oh, that's your flesh. I'd be lying as a preacher. It was hard to get up this morning for me too. Okay, I get it. Our flesh is our flesh, man. It wants to do what it wants to do. But you know what? We do what we're supposed to. And we come and we gather on the first day of the week. By the way, this is not the Sabbath. I'll get into that. This is Monday. This is Sunday. I don't know what day it is, obviously. But it's, praise God, I'm in grace. It's the first day of the week. right? We worship the Lord on the first day of the week. We'll get into all that here in a minute. But it's God's taken us somewhere, just like he's taken the nation of Israel somewhere. And he wants us to, he wants it to be a blessing and not a burden. So in Jeremiah 17:21, he says, "Thus saith the Lord, take heed to yourselves and bear no burden on the Sabbath day, nor bring it in by the gates of Jerusalem. Neither carry forth a burden out of your houses on the Sabbath day, neither do you any work, but hallow ye the Sabbath day, as I commanded your fathers," right? Going all the way back to Exodus 20, verse 8 through 11. Then he says in verse 23, "But they obeyed not, neither inclined their ear, but made their neck stiff, that they might not hear, nor receive instruction. And it shall come to pass, if ye diligently hearken unto me, saith the Lord, to bring in no burden through the gates of this city on the Sabbath day, but hallow the Sabbath day to do no work therein, then shall there enter into the gates of the city kings and princes sitting upon the throne of David, riding in chariots and on horses, they and their princes, the men of Judah and the inhabitants of Jerusalem, and this city shall remain forever." Like, he's like, this is forever. If you just do what I tell you to do, like, you haven't been doing it, but today you can start. You can do what I tell you to do. Man, how many of us are like that? I mean, right now God is telling us to do something, but like, we're stiff-necked. And we know what the message is, but we don't want to do it. Now, this was not meant to be a burden. It was meant to be a blessing. He's like, hey, listen, I want to give you my promises. I gave you this sign because I'm taking you somewhere. I want you to arrive safely. I want you to get there. I want to bless you forever. I want you to have a king in Jerusalem. And so God makes it clear in Nehemiah. Of course, you know what happens after Jeremiah. They go into captivity. And then they come back out. And so God goes back through this whole thing again, and he addresses the subject one more time. Nehemiah chapter 9, verse 13. He says, "Thou camest down also out of Mount Sinai, and spakest with them from heaven, and gavest them right judgments and true laws, good statutes and commandments, and madest known unto them thy holy Sabbath, and commandest them precepts, statutes, and laws by the hand of Moses thy servant." And so 2,500 years had gone by without there being a command to observe the Sabbath, because there was no nation of Israel to steward it until they came out of Egypt. Yeah, let me think about that. In Exodus 20 and verse 8, it had been, and that's what he's recording in Nehemiah, it had been like 2,500 years had gone by. There was no record of keeping a Sabbath. That doesn't mean there wasn't Sabbaths, right? We know that God made the earth in 7 days, so that right off the bat, the seventh day he took off, it was the Sabbath. But they didn't know that. I mean, that wasn't, Moses hadn't gotten that download. Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8 hadn't been given. And so he says, you know, God gave us this. He made us known unto them thy holy Sabbath. When did he do that? Well, when Moses came down in Sinai, he downloaded them some information that he wanted them to know, because they were his nation and he wanted them to steward this as they came out of Egypt. God has always intended for Israel to steward the blessing of the Sabbath as he indicated in Jeremiah. So point B, God commanded Israel to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. He commanded them to remember the Sabbath and keep it holy. Thank you. And I'm telling you, we're so like-minded. I literally just put my finger here because I thought I brought my water, and I didn't. I look over, man, and she's ready to chuck it at me. No, she's ready to hand it to me. So God commanded Israel to remember the Sabbath to keep it holy. Until Exodus, you know, through the time of Egypt, there was no command to observe the Sabbath. There is no indication that Adam or Noah or Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, or the sons that they had been observing the Sabbath until it was instituted after Exodus. Now, I will tell you this. It's mentioned in Exodus chapter 16 and verse 23. So we've already covered this ground in the past. But let me just, for remembrance sake, go back to Exodus 16 and verse 22. It says, "And it came to pass on the sixth day, they gathered twice as much bread, two omers for one man, and all the rulers of the congregation came and told Moses. And he said unto them, this is that which the Lord hath said, tomorrow is the rest of the holy Sabbath unto the Lord. Bake that which you will bake today and seed that ye will seed, and that which remaineth over, lay up for you to be kept until the morning. Now, we've already covered that story of how God miraculously brought manna, but that is that's the first mention of the word Sabbath in the Bible. The word Sabbath simply means to stop or desist from working. And in the scripture, it's always translated Sabbath. But the Strong's records its meaning as like an intermission, a pause from the work, the labor that you're doing. Stop what you're doing, right, and rest. Like in music, there's a rest. That's what it's called. It's a rest. It's not called a Sabbath, but there's a rest, and the music stops. And then it picks back up again. So God, He correlated the Sabbath day of rest unto the Lord with the need to gather extra manna the day before the Sabbath day, which is clearly the seventh day of the week, right? So He's like, hey, before you roll into that seventh day, that Sabbath day, that day of rest, make sure that you gather up all the manna that you need. But as of yet, in Exodus 16, there had been a command come down from Sinai. So in Exodus 16, it mentions this Sabbath was to be a day of rest, but it took the congregation some trial and error before they were prepared to obey God in obeying the Sabbath. In Exodus 16 and verse 24, the Bible says, and they laid it up until the morning as Moses bade, and it did not stink, neither was there any worm therein. And Moses said, eat that today, for today is a Sabbath unto the Lord. Today ye shall not find it in the field. 6 days ye shall gather it, but on the seventh day, which is the Sabbath, in that there shall be none. And in verse 27, and it came to pass, there went out some of the people on the seventh day for to gather, because they didn't listen, and they found none. And the Lord said unto Moses, how long refuse ye to keep my commandments and my laws? You notice how he does that there? He says to Moses, well, Moses had it all taken care of. It wasn't Moses. What was it? Well, it was the people he was responsible for. You know, we believe in discipleship in this church, and we also believe in raising our families and doing all those things. We're responsible for the people God has entrusted to us, to lead them to a place of responsibility, a place of rest. He goes on in verse 29, he says, see, for that the Lord hath given you the Sabbath. Therefore, he giveth you on the sixth day the bread of 2 days. Abide ye every man in his place. Stay put. Let no man go out of his place on the seventh day. So the people rested on the seventh day. Quit your work and stay there. Chow down on your manna. That's what you're doing on the seventh day. So the children of Israel had already learned that there was a blessing in keeping the Sabbath and a curse when it was ignored, right? When they ignored the Sabbath, they're out of food, right? They're like, man, we didn't gather enough on the Friday, so we're out of luck on Saturday. I mean, we're starving. And so God gave them a blessing. He said, hey, yeah, I'm going to get you. You guys remember how it went, right? So Monday through Thursday, you gathered just enough for one day, right? But on Friday, you got to do 2 days worth, because God wanted him to rest on the Sabbath. So he gave him provision for that Sabbath. So there's a picture here for the church. We gather our bread daily from God's word, but in the millennium, we'll not need to gather because the Lord will be with us. And we'll discuss that more in just a few minutes. But this practice only lasted as long as they sojourned in the wilderness, this practice of the manna and the Sabbath there in regard to the manna. Once they entered the promised land, the manna ceased. And once we get to heaven, our faith becomes sight. We need not study to show ourselves approved unto God, a workman who need not to be ashamed, rightly dividing the word of truth. Why? Because we will be with him. The time to study the word is now. The time to gather is now. Right? Because when we get to heaven, we'll be with him. The first mention of the phrase Sabbath day is found in Exodus 20 and verse 8. The phrase Sabbath day is mentioned 55 times in the Bible. The phrase is mentioned 22 times in the Old Testament, 33 times in the New Testament, in the books of Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and then in Acts. The last mention of the phrase Sabbath day, in air quotes here, Sabbath day, right, is found in Acts 15:21. It says, "For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him, being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day." Now, the context of Acts 15 is a council at a meeting in Jerusalem where they are considering what to do with all these Gentiles. Like, they're getting saved, and Paul's there, and he's arguing, hey, get off of them. Don't make them keep the law, you know. And Peter's there, and he finally steps up as the head and says, hey, listen, Let's not ask him to do anything else other than, you know, abstain from things, fornication and sexual sin and meats that were strangled with blood or something to that effect. And he, like, make sure that they don't offend the Jews' conscience in the synagogue. Those Gentiles, they don't have to get circumcised because that was on the table. Like, if you get saved, you got to get circumcised. It was not the custom of Gentiles to get circumcised at that time. So the Jews, many of the Jews were like, oh, if they got saved, they're not saved unless they're circumcised physically. And of course, we know what Paul's going to write. He knows, like, no. They need to be circumcised spiritually. The physical circumcision is not valid at this time. But the apostles were trying to process all that themselves. And of course, we know that Peter in Acts chapter 12 had already gone through some of that processing, and he's figuring it out. But they're trying to work through all of these changes and how the Gentiles are really at liberty. But he says, hey, just for the sake of those Jews, let's not offend their conscience. For Moses of old time hath in every city them that preach him being read in the synagogue every Sabbath day. He's like, all over the Roman Empire, there are synagogues set up where they're reading the law of Moses every Sabbath day. So the Gentiles that get saved just need to be, they don't need to be circumcised, but they do need to be careful not to be a stumbling block to those Jews, ironically. Isn't that something? And so here, that is what's going on in Acts 15, 21. And I mention that because it's the last mention in the transitional book of Acts of the Sabbath day. There's no other mention of Sabbath or Sabbath day in the rest of your New Testament. Because it's not given to us to observe. It's given to Israel. It's assigned to them. Point C, the observation of Sabbath is not mentioned one time in relation to the church in the New Testament. You say, yeah, but you were just in Acts. Okay, it's mentioned in Acts, but it's not given to the church. Right? He's talking specifically about how the Jews are observing the Sabbath. In addition to the Sabbath not being mentioned one time in the context of born-again Christians observing it, in the New Testament, we see Paul omits the observance of the Sabbath from the list of the moral law that he recites in Romans 13, 8 through 10. He says in Romans 13, 8, he says, owe no man anything but to love one another, for that loveth one another, for he that loveth one another hath fulfilled the law, right? The great commandment. For this thou shalt not commit adultery, thou shalt not kill, thou shalt not steal, thou shalt not bear false witness, thou shalt not covet. He gets the big five there. And if there be any other commandment, it's briefly comprehended in this saying, namely, thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Love worketh no ill to his neighbor. Therefore, love is the fulfilling of the law. He leaves off the Sabbath. And he does that for a reason, because it's a sign given to the Jews. Now, for some of you, and I don't know who, because I didn't do a poll before I started preaching, some of you here today, even this morning, might be going, you mean Sunday's not the Sabbath? Oh, no, it's not. I mean, I'm going to get into that in just a moment, but we're on a whole different calendar than the Jews. Let me just start there. We're on a 365-day calendar versus a 360-day calendar. We're on a solar, not a lunar, but let's just for grins just say that we were observing the law under a solar calendar. Then, yes, yesterday was the Sabbath. Saturday would have been the Sabbath, hypothetically. And today is the first day of the week, which is when we celebrate the resurrection of the Lord Jesus. Now, the admonition is not to get caught up in the observations of holy days. Right? Now, there's a lot of churches that do that. There's the Eastern Orthodox. There's a lot of liturgical churches. And they have all these holy days, even today. But the Bible teaches us very clearly in Colossians chapter 2 and verse 16, let no man therefore judge you in meat or in drink or in respect of an holy day or of the new moon or the Sabbath day, specifically, or the Sabbath days, which are a shadow of things to come. There's a sign, there's a shadow, they're taking you somewhere. They're taking them somewhere, them being Israel, because it's a sign to the Jews. But for us, you're not under that, because that's the law. So there are some in the last century who would call us to follow the law, making void the cross of Christ and bringing us under the curse of the law that we've been freed from. And they actually came from Baptist origins. Right? So many of you heard of the Seventh-day Adventists, right? So Seventh-day Adventists, they follow the Sabbath. I mean, they meet on Saturday. There's all kinds of problems with that, but and I'm pointing out some of them right now. It's just not biblical. They're not rightly dividing the Word of God. Now, Galatians 3:10 says this, "For as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse, for it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them." If you're going to take that, you're going to take it all? I mean, you're going to sacrifice lambs? Oh, well, Jesus is our sacrifice. Exactly. Exactly. And this is a sign to the Jews. I've already set that forth. This is a sign to the nation of Israel. The Sabbath is a sign to the nation of Israel. So, no man is justified by the law in the sight of God. It is evident, for the just shall live by faith. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree. Everything that we have to keep on the law is Jesus. Jesus kept the law for us. So our faith is in Christ, His finished work alone. Now, obviously, we saw Romans. We shouldn't kill. We should keep the moral law. We should do better than that. We should love our enemies as ourselves. How about that? Right? We don't just seek justice. We seek redemption. I mean, we're on the other side of that coin. I mean, we're blowing the law out of the water because of the love of Christ. Those like the Seventh-day Adventists would have you to believe that the Sabbath is to be observed throughout the church age because God rested on the seventh day. And we'll get into that here in just a moment when we get to the creation part. But I do want to make sure that you understand that the observation of the Sabbath day is given to the nation of Israel and not the church. That's why the church doesn't meet. And this is pretty universally understood. That's why the church doesn't meet on Saturday. But there are some that meet on Sunday and they call this the Sabbath. And I suppose in a way, there's nothing wrong with saying, hey, it's a day of rest, because it kind of is. But at the end of the day, and I'm getting to the conclusion before I get there, really, Jesus is our rest, right? That's where we need to find our rest. But point D, the Sabbath day was observed while its author was rejected. Now, I want you to think about this for all those law keepers out there, all those that want to do every jot and tittle. You know, one of the things that was kept while Jesus Christ was betrayed and crucified? You bet. The high holy day, the Sabbath day. Man, they aren't going to miss those. The Jews have all that stuff. Man, they are not going to forsake the Sabbath, but they will crucify their Savior. The Sabbath day was observed while its author, the person who instituted it on Sinai, was crucified. Jesus made it clear in the New Testament that He was the Lord of the Sabbath. Why is it mentioned so many times? Well, for two reasons. Number one, the Jews were rightly observing the Sabbath day, as they should. It's a sign given to them. And secondly, Jesus Christ was showing them the sign. He was giving them an indication of where this is going. And one of the ways as He did that is He rolled around with His disciples picking corn and eating it on the Sabbath. You say, what? Yeah. Three times in the New Testament, in the book of Matthew, the book of Mark, and the book of Luke, Matthew 12:8, Mark 2:28, and Luke 6:5, there's the same story recounted, just so we don't miss it. Three witnesses. And in those three witnesses, I'm just going to give you the thumbnail sketch. You see that Jesus is rolling through the cornfield, and they pick off some corn and start chowing down on the Sabbath. And the Jews are like going, no, you can't do this. This is the Sabbath, man. You're not to be doing that on the Sabbath. And you know what Jesus says? He's like, well, wait a minute. For the Son of Man is the Lord, even of the Sabbath. So what was He saying? He's like, it's okay. I said it's okay. And then He quotes to him, David said, you know, remember when I let David eat, go into the when he was running from Saul and I let him go in the temple and eat the showbread, I gave him grace there too. I mean, he didn't say it quite that succinctly, but that's basically what he was saying. He's like, remember David? He ate the showbread. That wasn't permissible either. But I let him do it because I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. Now, let that sink in for just a moment. That just little exchange about the Sabbath day. What was Jesus really doing that day? He's saying, I'm here. This is the sign. I gave it on Sinai. Remember when I gave it to Moses? And now I'm rolling through your cornfields, messing up your day. Guess what? I'm here. And guess what? They missed the sign. They just kept on driving. They kept on observing the Sabbath. And they forgot the fact that, hey, the Lord of the Sabbath is here. He's offering the kingdom, man. He wants to bless our nation. He wants the throne of David to go on forever. Don't we want to get these Romans out of here? Yeah. Let's go with this guy. But they didn't do that. You know why? Because they wanted to be in charge. And one of the things they did is they kept their religious systems and they kept doing the Sabbath right up to the day that they put Jesus Christ on the cross. And after they put him on the cross, they got to hurry up and take him down because the Sabbath's coming. Passover's coming. High Holy Day's coming. We're going to keep all of this law, but we're going to kill the lawgiver. Shiloh. Man, I tell you what, guys, we're a messed up group of folk without Jesus. When the Pharisees saw the disciples and Jesus were not observing the Sabbath in accordance to the law, man, he shares with them that, you know what, it's okay. I'm the Lord of the Sabbath. So the nation of Israel didn't miss the observation of the Sabbath, but they did miss the fulfillment of it. You see what happened there? They never missed the observation, but they did miss the fulfillment. They missed the sign. They missed the fulfillment, which was Jesus Christ. There's no doubt that God allowed it, obviously, so he could redeem us from the curse of the law. But it shows how committed we can be to keeping the law while destroying its author. And that's the height of hypocrisy. And that's why Jesus called them blind guides. They could not see what was right in front of their eyes. If the Sanhedrin's heart was right, they would have realized Jesus was the Messiah when he declared that he was Lord of the Sabbath. And they would have found rest unto their souls. So we see that the purpose of the Sabbath, it's a sign to who? The nation of Israel. Don't forget that. But secondly, there's a picture of the Sabbath. The picture of the Sabbath. The phrase Sabbath day is important because it points us to the day of the Lord. It points us to the day of the Lord. In the command there in Exodus chapter 20 and verse 8, it's not just observe the Sabbath. He's very precise. Sabbath day. Sabbath day. Now, obviously, it's because it is that seventh day, so it's a day. But there's more to it than that. 23 times in the Old Testament, 4 times in the New Testament, this is brought up. And every mention of the day of the Lord is referencing the second coming of Christ. And that leads me back to our text in Exodus 20, verses 8 through 11. Remember the Sabbath day to keep it holy. Verse 9, 6 days shalt thou labor and do all thy work, but the seventh day is the Sabbath of the Lord thy God. In it thou shalt not do any work, thou nor thy son nor thy daughter, thy maidservant, thy manservant, thy maidservant, nor thy cattle, nor thy stranger that is within thy gates. For in 6 days the Lord made heaven and earth, the sea and all that is in them, and rested the seventh day. Wherefore the Lord blessed the Sabbath day and hallowed it. So the Holy Ghost is connecting the dots for the nation of Israel and for us. The Sabbath day and the seventh day, the Sabbath is just a day of rest, but the Sabbath day and the seventh day go together. And we see a direct connection between Genesis 2 and verse 2. So in Genesis 1, 2, of course, he's citing, thus the heavens and the earth were finished and all the hosts of them. And on the seventh day, God ended his work, which he had made. And he rested on the seventh day from all his work, which he had made. And God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because that in it he had rested from all his work which God created and made. Now we know that God did not need to rest. He chose to rest. He chose to hallow the seventh day because, well, he's taking us somewhere. And he's revealing that. The one thing about your Bible is it's progressive. There's progressive revelation as it goes. So even though Adam and Noah and Abraham and Isaac and Jacob may not have fully grasped this, by the time Moses rolls down out of Sinai, it's pretty clear that our Sabbath day of rest is connected to God's creation account and His 7 days of rest and what God is doing on this planet. Why? Because I'm making you a nation, Israel, and I'm taking you somewhere. And I'm going to promise to David someday that he's going to have a throne that goes on forever and ever. And guess when that's going to be instituted, class? You got it. On the seventh millennial day. It's a picture. So God didn't take rest because he was tired. He took rest to establish a picture that we can learn from even this morning in 2024. So we're clearly dealing with a 7 day week, but we don't find the word week show up until Genesis 29:7, by the way. That term doesn't show up in your Bible till the 29th chapter of Genesis. And it says, this is Jacob dealing with Rachel. He says, fulfill her week, because he's already been ripped off by Laban. He says, fulfill her week and we will give thee this also for the service which thou shalt serve with me yet 7 other years. He's like, hey, I know that you've worked a week. Now, he's not talking 7 days. He's talking 7 years. And you know what? I need you to work another 7 years. And then here's Leah, but I'm going to give you Rachel. Sorry, we had a mix-up over here. After the nuptials, I kind of switched them on you. Now you're married to Leah. Can't go back on that vow, but I'll go ahead and give you Rachel as well. Just 7 more years. So he calls those 7 years. What's he calling there? A week. So a week in the Bible is not just 7 days like we call a week. In our Gentile world, a week is 7 days, pretty much. But in the Bible, which is our guidebook, a week can be, well, it can be a week of days in Genesis 1, 2, and 3, just like God literally created the earth in 6 days and he was done on the seventh day, he rested. Those are literal 24-hour days. There's a week of weeks in Leviticus 23, 9 through 14 and 15 through 23, right, where it's like we're seeing where you can 7 weeks of seven, you get 50, and then you come on to Pentecost, right? So Pentecost was after a series of 7 day weeks. And then you have months, weeks of months in Leviticus 23, 1 through 44. Then you have weeks of years in Leviticus 25, 1 through 7, and Exodus 20, 21, 2. And then you have another week of years. A week of years in Leviticus 25:18, leading to the Jubilee. And then you have the millennia, 2 Peter 3:10. And I actually included at the back of your notes the whole outline on that, so you can go back and look all that up later. We don't have time this morning. And then there's a week of ages. But that 2 Peter 3:10 is the thing I want to focus on this morning. Because the Sabbath day is on the seventh day because it completes the picture of rest that's coming to this earth in the millennium. You know, the guy who created the heaven and the earth, right? And then he calls out a people and he gets them out of Egypt and he's setting them up as a nation. He calls them an army and he's going to give them a government and he's going to get them into a promised land. And he's setting things up on this earth, which is also being opposed by Satan. Still going on, by the way. There's a war going on right now in Israel. Keep an eye on it. 2 Peter chapter 3 says this, but beloved, be not ignorant of this one thing, that one day is with the Lord as 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. The Lord is not slack concerning his promises, some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Now, we don't have time to study that text this morning as much as I'd like to, but if you go back to 2 Peter chapter 2, you know what that's talking about? The context is the judgment of God on that day. And he says, hey, before Jesus comes back in judgment, let me just tell you, he's not slack concerning his promise, as some men count slackness, but is long suffering. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. I mean, God wants people to be saved, but the context of that very passage, a day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day, is talking about when the Lord comes back to do what? Establish his kingdom. You can go back and read it. Point B. The Sabbath day that occurred each week is a picture of the millennial reign that will occur after Daniel's 70th week is fulfilled. So now I just threw another week at you. It's called Daniel's 70th week. And you may have to come back on a Wednesday night to catch up on all that. But there's a prophecy back in Daniel chapter 9 of 490 years. Right? 7 times 7 is 49. 70 times 7 is 490. Until the second coming of Christ in Daniel chapter 9. That's all laid out for us, and I'm not going to do all that this morning. But all of that has been fulfilled except, all that prophecy back there in Daniel has been fulfilled except 1 7-year week. 1 7-year week. And by the way, it's very Jewish, and it's got nothing to do with the church. It's how God is reconciling His promise to the nation of Israel and His kingdom, of which He was offering to the Jews at His first coming. And even Jesus at His first coming. It's all hidden in that prophecy. So at the end of the 70th week of Daniel, Daniel's 70th week, as you'll often hear me call it, Christ, Jesus Christ, will return to establish His rule and reign on the planet. And how long is He going to do that for, class? 1,000 years. A day with the Lord is 1,000 years, and 1,000 years is one day. And this will complete the week of millennia here on this earth. Which brings us back to Genesis chapter 1 and 2. And where He has those 7 days. Now, Revelation 20 verse 2 says this. And He laid hold on the dragon, that old serpent, which is the devil and Satan. And He bound him 1,000 years. Satan will be bound 1,000 years as Jesus establishes His Isaiah 9:6 government. And in Revelation 20 and verse 4, the Bible says, And I saw thrones, and they that sat upon them, and judgment was given unto them. And I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus and for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither His image, and had received neither had received the mark upon their foreheads or their hands. And they lived and reigned with Christ. There it is, 1,000 years, speaking of tribulation saints that die as martyrs. But the rest of the dead lived not again until the 1,000 years were finished. This is the first resurrection. Blessed and holy is he that hath part in the first resurrection. On such the second death hath no power, but they shall be priests of God and of Christ, and shall reign with him 1,000 years. What are we going to be doing for 1,000 years? We're going to be reigning with Christ. So it'll be during this time that the prophecy of Isaiah 56, verse 6 through 7, will come to pass, and the Gentiles of the world come to Jerusalem to observe the Sabbath. Now, right now, there'll be people that lift this passage I'm going to read out of context and say, oh, no, that's the church, but that's not the church. The church is the church. There's three groups of people, the Jews, the Gentiles, and the church. We're distinctly different. In Isaiah 56 and verse 1, the Bible says, Thus saith the Lord, keep ye judgment and do justice, for my salvation is come near, and my righteousness to be revealed. Blessed is the man that doeth this, and the son of man that layeth hold on it, that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it, and keeping his hand from doing any evil. Neither let the son of the stranger that hath joined himself to the Lord speak, saying, The Lord hath utterly separated me from his people. Neither let the eunuch say, Behold, I am a dry tree. For thus saith the Lord unto the eunuchs that keep my Sabbaths, and choose the things that please me, and take hold of my covenants. Even unto them will I give in mine house, and with mine walls a place, and a name better than of the sons of daughters. I will give them an everlasting name that shall not be cut off. Now here comes the promise. Also the sons of the stranger that join themselves to the Lord to serve him and to love the name of the Lord to be his servants, every one that keepeth the Sabbath from polluting it and taketh hold of my covenant, even them will I bring to my holy mountain and make them joyful in my house of prayer. Their burnt offerings and their sacrifices shall be accepted upon mine altar, for mine house shall be called an house of prayer for all people. The Lord God, which gathereth the outcasts of Israel, saith, Yet will I gather others to him beside those that are gathered unto him. Now, in a physical sense, in a kingdom of heaven sense, this has not yet happened. It will happen, but it's not yet happened. God clearly changes the way he addresses the Gentile world and outcasts of Israel in the coming millennium. In Leviticus, if a man has an injury to his reproductive organs, he's not allowed to be a priest. He's disqualified. Here he's telling the eunuchs, you know what? Come on in to this kingdom. Participate in my Sabbath. And God is very inviting to all those that will come. We will already be in our glorified bodies at that time, and this has no bearing on the church age. And we will already receive our inheritance, which is Jesus Christ. And we ourselves will be kings and priests in the kingdom of God. So point C, the Lord of the Sabbath is the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. And that leads me to my last point. I'm almost done. You bet you're glad for that. Amen. Lunch is coming. So remember the Sabbath. Why? Well, the purpose of the Sabbath is a sign to the nation of Israel. God's taking them somewhere. Well, where's he taking them? He's taking them to rule, literally rule and reign on this planet. The reason you see so much action going on in the Middle East right now, and there has been for the last, now going on 80 plus years, is because the Gentile powers are jockeying around and how to change the structure going forward, because Jesus Christ appearing is near. He is coming. And that millennial day after the catching away of the church will be that 70th week will be fulfilled. And then there will be a 1,000 year millennial reign of Christ, just like the Bible says. And there will be someone who sits on that throne and rules forever and ever. And his name is Jesus Christ. And so the third thing we need to understand is there's the person of the Sabbath. He is the Lord of the Sabbath. We've already met him. He's already been here once and he's coming back again. So if you miss the sign, there's another one that says, turn back. You missed him. If you're a Jew, listen to me right now. Ben Shapiro, if you're listening to me, you missed your Messiah. Do a Yui and get in the Bible while you can, because you don't want to get on what's coming up. The New Testament church is not charged to keep the Sabbath because the Sabbath is a sign to the nation of Israel. We saw that. The New Testament church is not charged to keep the Sabbath because the picture is of the millennium. The New Testament church is not charged to keep the Sabbath because Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath. And the New Testament church is not charged to keep the Sabbath because we assemble on the first day of the week. Now, why do we do that? I'm glad you asked. 1 Corinthians 12:12 says, for as the body is one and hath many members, and all the members of that one body being many are one body, so also is Christ. For by one Spirit are we all baptized into one body, whether it be Jews or Gentiles, whether it be bond or free, and have all been made to drink of one Spirit. What is the deal with us? We're in one body. We get one Spirit. Galatians 3:28 says, there is neither Jew nor Greek. There is neither bond nor free. There is neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ. The Bible tells us that when you get saved, you become a new creature. You are a son of God, 1 John chapter 3. The church is no longer under the law of Moses, according to Romans 6 and verse 14. For sin shall not have dominion over you, for ye are not under the law, but under grace. We're under grace. What then, shall we sin because we're not under the law but under grace? God forbid. So John 1:17 says, for the law must be given by Moses, and grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. The reason that we're not under the law is because of Jesus Christ. He is our schoolmaster. So the law is our schoolmaster. Moses gave us that schoolmaster to lead us to Christ. So grace and truth, the grace and truth of Jesus Christ frees us from the law of Moses, not because the law is bad, but because it's been fulfilled in Christ. So Paul made it clear that we are not bound by the law because Christ has freed us from the curse of the law. In Galatians 3:10, he says, for as many as are of the works of the law are under the curse. For it is written, cursed is everyone that continueth not in all the things which are written in the book of the law to do them. But that no man is justified by the law in the sight of God, it is evident. For the just shall live by faith. Hearkening back to Abraham. And the law is not of faith, but the man that doeth them shall live in them. So Christ hath redeemed us from the curse of the law, being made a curse for us. For it is written, cursed is everyone that hangeth on a tree, that the blessing of Abraham might come on the Gentiles through Jesus Christ, that we might receive the promise of the Spirit through faith. Not the keeping of the law, but by faith. By grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. Our salvation is in Christ. He is the person. He is our rest. God empowered the church with his Holy Spirit on the first day of the week, as a matter of fact, on Pentecost. The church has assembled on the first day of the week since Jesus rose from the dead. In John 20 and verse 19, the same day at evening, being the first day of the week, when the doors were shut, where the disciples were assembled for fear of the Jews, came Jesus and stood in the midst and saith unto them, peace be unto you. Right after the resurrection, the church is in formation, right? It hasn't been quickened yet until Acts chapter 2. But they are gathered together, and who shows up? Jesus in the midst of them. Acts 20 and verse 7. Now clearly in the church age, upon the first day of the week, when the disciples came together to break bread, Paul preached unto them, ready to depart on the morrow, and continued his speech until midnight. The church has been meeting on the first day of the week since Jesus resurrected. The first day represents also the eighth day of a seven-day week. It's a new beginning, and it brings a new week. It's after the seventh millennial day, after death and hell are cast in the lake of fire, that God establishes what? In Revelation chapter 21 and 22, a new heaven and a new earth. Because it's a new beginning, as human history has been completed in seven millennial days. And the last Adam has proven that he can restore what the first Adam lost. So the first day is a time when the church assembles to take up the collection and the offering, right? We do that each day. We're going to do that in just a few minutes. Good segue, right? Get ready now. 1 Corinthians 16:1. Now concerning the collection of the saints, as I've given order to the churches of Galatia, even so do ye. Upon the first day of the week, let every one of you lay up in store as God hath prospered him, that there be no gatherings when I come. That's been a custom since the first century. Some might say, well, say, Brian, you're on a Roman Catholic calendar, so the first day of the week is not really the same as the Hebrew first day of the week. You know what I'd say to that? You're absolutely right. We're not even on the same calendar as the Hebrews. It's all out of whack. Which is why God said, hey, don't worry about respecting the holy day. We're just riding with the Gregorian calendar. The Eastern Orthodox, they're still rolling with a Julian calendar. You know what we say? Who cares? I don't care that they celebrated Easter at the beginning of June in Romania, and we celebrated it in April. Why? Because we don't give respect to that stuff. We're free because of grace. Because of grace. Jesus Christ is our rest. He is our Sabbath. The Bible says in Romans 14:5, one esteemeth one day above another. Another esteemeth every day alike. Let every man be fully persuaded in his own mind. He that regardeth the day regardeth it unto the Lord. And he that regardeth not the day to the Lord, he doth not regard it. He that eateth to the Lord, he giveth God thanks. And he that eateth not to the Lord, he eateth not and giveth God thanks. The Lord has called the church not to get caught up in religious superstitions about holy days, because our holiness, listen to me, our holiness is found in Christ. He is our Sabbath. He is our rest. We look forward to ruling and reigning with him in that glorious day. We are in him. And you know what? Right now, he is in us. Getting us back to that little intro video, that guy that doesn't know what the Sabbath's all about, thinks he's going to church on Sunday. No, it's about having Christ in you, the hope of glory. And it's every day. Man, our rest is every day as we rest in Christ and his promises. Now, the New Testament Christian is not charged to keep the Sabbath day because Jesus is our rest. We're at liberty to worship God freely every day of the week. We're called to assemble together, obviously. And we traditionally always do that on the first day of the week, whether it's Gregorian calendar or Julian calendar, you know, whatever calendar. We'll pick a day, one out of every seven, and we're going to do it on the first day of the week. You tell me, you Gentiles tell me, what's the last day of the week? Then we're going to do it on the first day of the week. Right? But we're free, man. We're not under the law. Isn't that awesome to be free? And the law is our schoolmaster. It leads us to Christ. So the conclusion here is this. The same one who rested on the seventh day in Genesis chapter 2, verses 1 and 2, is the same one who will rule in the millennium. He is the same Lord who allowed himself to be nailed to the cross for our sins so that we could have peace with God and new life in Christ. If we receive it. Now, I don't know who's saved and who's not. Only God knows that, frankly, and you know. But if you're here this morning and you've never come to put your faith in Christ, maybe coming to church is, maybe you're like that guy in the video, like, I just need to go to church. You do need to go to church, but not just to be at church. You need to be at church so you can meet Christ. Because I don't have anything to offer. But man, God's word is true, man. This book is life and it is light, man. And you got to get in it and you got to get him in you. And the Bible gives us a way to do that. He says, but now, in Ephesians 2:13, but now is Christ Jesus, now in Christ Jesus, ye who are sometimes were far off are made nigh by the blood of Christ. You don't have to wait till Isaiah 56 is fulfilled. No, today the Bible says you can come near Christ. He's right here. He says, for he is our peace, who hath made both one and hath broken down the middle wall of partition between us, having abolished in his flesh the enmity, the war, even the law of commandments contained in ordinances, to make in himself of twain one new man, so making, here it comes, making peace. If you want peace, you come to Christ. He's the one that makes the peace. And that he might reconcile both unto God in one body by the cross, having slain the enmity thereby, and came and preached peace to you which were afar off, and to them that are nigh. For through him we have access by one Spirit unto the Father. This morning, if you need peace and rest in your life, you'll only find it in the person of Christ. You can't run, you can't go, you can't hide. You have to actually just come into the light. The Sabbath, like the rest of the law, what is it? It's our schoolmaster. It's a sign for the Jews, but it's a lesson for us. And it leads us right to Christ. And man, our inheritance is him. He has done all that is required to bring us peace. The only question this morning is, do you have peace? And I'll leave you where I started in Matthew 11. Jesus says this, come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me. Why? Because he's the fulfillment. You want to learn the law? Everything you're going to learn in the Old Testament is fulfilled in Jesus Christ. I'm not saying we shouldn't learn it. Of course we should learn it. There's still a lot yet to be fulfilled. The point is this. He is our peace. Learn of me. I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Remember the Sabbath, because the purpose of the Sabbath is a sign to the nation of Israel. It's a picture of the coming millennial reign of Christ. And it takes us to a person whose name is Christ, who created everything. And if he can create the world, you know what he can do? He can solve your problems. But it isn't just about the problems. Whether he doesn't solve them or not, the real issue is our biggest problem is spending eternity separated from God. And that is because of our sin. And that's why he came to this earth and nailed our sin to the cross. He became sin for us who knew no sin. Why? So that we could have access to his peace, to his grace, to his faith, through the shed blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. Every head bowed and every eye closed. Heavenly Father, as we conclude this morning, I pray that we are encouraged in this fourth commandment, a sign that is taking us forward into the time when you will rule and reign on this planet through your nation Israel, but also a reminder that Jesus Christ is the Lord of the Sabbath, and he is calling all men everywhere to repent. And today, the Bible says, is the day of salvation. Lord, our inheritance is not on this earth. It is in heavenly places. Lord, it is a spiritual kingdom. And the Bible says, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. With heads bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. If you're here this morning and you don't know Jesus as Lord and Savior, I want to encourage you this morning to just consider, are you saved? If you were to die today, do you know where you'd spend eternity? And maybe you do. Maybe it's separated from God. And if it is, man, today is the day to be saved from that judgment, saved from eternal hell, saved from separation from God for all of eternity. He wants to restore you. He is not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Is there anyone on the sound of my voice that would say, Brian, you are talking to me. I need that. I need to have assurance of my salvation. I want to be saved. I want to be born again. I want to know that I am. Well, guess what? You can, because we have God's mind. We can show you in the Bible how you can know that you're saved. You can call upon the name of the Lord to be saved. Is there anyone today say, Brian, you are talking to me. I need to be saved. Anyone to my left? Anyone in the middle? Anyone on my right? Amen. Let's stand together in attitude of prayer. Heavenly Father, as we conclude in prayer, if there's anyone this morning, if God's calling you, this really wasn't a missionary message or anything like that, but maybe God's calling you out of your comfort zone. If you need to come and pray, there are people here to pray. And if you need some prayer, we will pray with you and pray for you. Heavenly Father, I just thank you for your church. I thank you for those that are gathered here this morning. And Lord, as we conclude our time together in prayer and in reflection, Lord, thank you for the promises that you gave Israel, and thank you for the promises you give us. They're far more superior, actually. It's an incredible thing. We get to rule and reign with you. We are in Christ, and Christ is in us. We are the church. What an incredible gift that you've given us. You are our rest. Heavenly Father, in Hebrews 4, you lay out four different rests there, and I didn't have time to get into those, but Lord, we're so thankful that you are our rest. And I pray this morning that everyone under the sound of my voice is resting in you, Lord. I know there's a lot of cares, there's a lot of worries, there's car payments, there's house payments, there's jobs, there's big decisions, there's strife, there's all kinds of things in a room this size. Lord, I don't even know it all, and praise the Lord, I don't. But Lord, you do. And Lord, you're calling us to have peace. Come unto me, all you that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Oh, Father, help us not to get on a treadmill of knowing our Bible and doing good works and then forsaking you when you remind us that you're the Lord of the Sabbath. Oh, Heavenly Father, may we sanctify time daily to study your Bible. Sanctify time to praise your name. Set apart time and make it holy to sing to you, to pray to you, to praise you, Lord. Forgive us where we sin in those regards. Oh, Heavenly Father, we have eternity, and it's not just a day of the week. It's eternity to be with you, and Lord, help us to prepare ourselves for that eventuality, which is certain if we're saved. Oh, Heavenly Father, help us to set our thoughts on things above and not on the things of this world. Oh, God, help us to be who you've saved us to be as we go out this week and next week and invite people to come to church in the park or Christ Soccer Academy. Lord, we just pray, God, that when they show up, they don't see us, but they see you. Oh, Heavenly Father, do what only you can do, and Lord, glorify yourself through us, in spite of us, for your honor, for your sake, for your glory. We thank you, we praise you, we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for coming this morning. We have a few announcements as we get ready to take up the offering. I'm going to go ahead and pray over the offering. The ushers, prepare for that. That'll be great, and we will go ahead, and then we got a couple other orders of business before we are dismissed. Heavenly Father, we thank you for the opportunity to give back to you this morning. It is a great blessing. And as we were just talking about, it's the first day of the week, and we remember that you rose again and you gave everything for us. And as we give back to you, Lord, we pray, God, that you would bless it for your kingdom, for your honor, and for your glory as we reinvest that into the kingdom of God and missionaries and the work of ministry here in Cass County and all around the world. We pray that you would multiply it mightily for your honor, for your glory, and accomplish more than we could even ask or think. We thank you and praise you for the opportunity to give back to you. And thank you for giving everything for us. We love you, we thank you, and we give back to you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay, I've got a couple of announcements while the ushers pass the plate. Today is the last day to register for Christ Soccer Academy. So if you have a child that you have not registered, or a friend or a neighbor or something like that needs to register, today is the last day so we can get all the teams formed and the jerseys ordered and all of that. If you're helping with that or haven't signed up to help with that, get with Pastor Brian, and he can definitely use more help on that, I think. So the last day for that is today. There was a little bit of confusion on the taking it to the streets this particular month. Next week is Memorial Day weekend, so we knew several people would be out or be traveling. And so we're doing taking it to the streets today and next week. So within your particular team, or you know, with your neighborhood and your streets that you have, you can go this week or next week. The flyers are up here, the door hangers are up here right now. So if you're going out today, grab those and hit your street. If you want to wait and do it next week and you're going to be in town, they'll be up on the altar next week as well. So you can go out either week. And so there's a little bit of confusion on that, so I want to clarify that. 2 weeks from today, we will not have any services in the building. That's what we're going out and inviting people to, our Church in the Park service. So we will not have any services here in the building on June 2nd. So don't show up here. Go to the park, the city park, at the amphitheater. We'll have service there. We'll have lunch afterwards. There will be a bounce house and stuff for the kids, too. So that's always a good weekend. Pray for good weather. It's been hot some days. It's rained a few times. So pray for good weather on that. And then if you check your bulletin, the last several weeks we've been doing a focus on a particular ABF. So if you normally just come to this service, during the 9 o'clock hour, there's activity all over the building. We've got kids' classes, The youth meets out in the trailer. We have 5 adult classes that meet all around the building. So each week we've been putting a different adult Bible fellowship focus in your bulletin so you can kind of find out what they are, where they meet, what study they're working on right now, those kinds of things. So if you don't come to an ABF now, look in your bulletin. We would encourage you to come to one of those. It's a little bit of a smaller fellowship class. You get to interact a little bit more with people and get to know people. So check that out. And last week I neglected to pray before I dismissed, but we're not dismissing. We have something else, so I'm not forgetting this time. There is something else to do, so.
Thank you. All right, we've got a couple words. We're going to have our new member presentation. Our first one is Oakley Gray. Is Oakley in the house? You guys can bring her up, unless she's just woman enough to. She is woman enough. She'll just come on up here, so. Oakley was baptized last week, and we also have Stephanie Smith. Stephanie Smith, I saw Oakley. Hi, Oakley. As Stephanie's coming, Oakley, this is your baptism certificate, and your grandpa baptized you last week. This has got a New Testament in it. It's got a picture and a little certificate to remember that by, okay? All right. And so, amen. Yeah. And Stephanie is coming. And Stephanie is coming by transfer of letter from a church of like faith. And she is, you came to find us through your kids, right?
I guess so.
Yeah. I don't know, but she's jumping in, getting involved in VBS. So we're happy to have Stephanie join the church. So if you're in favor of these joining HBF, just say a hearty amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Give them some love. That's right. I'm going to ask that if you guys could just stay here for just a few minutes and people come by and say hi. Ann Pierce, you're in the house. Good to see Ann. Not in from China, but in from South Carolina, Columbia. So good to see you. Let's stand together. We'll have a word of prayer and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, it's always good to clap in your house because, Lord, you're worthy. We're like the trees that clap our hands. Lord, we lift up our hands to you. We thank you for loving us and giving us your son, Jesus. And Lord, thank you for just your church. It's just incredible to see folks come to Christ, to get baptized, to hear Oakley's testimony and visit with Stephanie and hear how you've been working in her life. And Lord, I do pray, God, that you would give all the nutrients that Oakley needs to grow in Christ. And Lord, that you would provide everything that Stephanie needs in this season of her life, that we can all run our race together and finish our course for your honor and your glory. Thank you for bringing these as body parts. And Lord, no one body part is any more important than the other. And so we're so thankful that you bring us together in all different different places, all kinds of different pieces of the body. You bring us all together to work as one. And we thank you for that. We give you the honor. We give you the glory. We give you the praise. And we thank you today in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you. You are dismissed. Congratulations. Thank you for joining.